Ah, welcome to my inn, the Carriage Rest Inn, a place where the bard has tales that spin. As our weary travelers struggle to find their role in this world divided with souls that are full. Trust, confusion, loyalty are a greater foe than any arrow sprung from a bow. Who is dark, who is light, a constant battle over who is right. Listen as we begin here at the Carriage Rest Inn.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Carriage Rest Tales. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, Mike. We are finishing up our special episodes with who's in the studio with me today?
Well, it's Sam, and I'm playing Woods, the elven, paladin, ranger, demigod, diva, lost, torn apart soul.
What happened? Why are we not? Go back quickly, quickly, go back. We can still save them. What are you doing?
No, we can't.
You can't
so Pelor, we cannot save them.
You can't just leave our supporters, our worshippers.
I can.
They trust us.
I know, but we can't. We will die.
Then we'll die with them.
No, we can't die with them. We have a greater cause. We need to end the spell, and we need to save the world, and like we need you and Lucha to reunite again. We can't. This hurts me so much.
We're going to save who are we saving the spell for if all of our followers are gone?
No, there's more. There's more out there.
They're your family, though. How did
I know,
you?
I don't remind me. I know that is my family. I was born there. I know. You don't need to remind me. I know what I did. But we can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. I will die there, and I know I can't die there. And she just hears Lucha in the back of her head. You're right. You can't die there. You're made for more. You need to continue fighting. They will survive. It's okay. And she just feels this, like, huge pull between the two of them.
And how does Woods feel?
Woods is very confused. She is very sad. Just her whole, she literally knows her family is dying. And everyone that she grew up with, her entire being is back there, and they're fighting for themselves. And she feels horrible that she can't protect them. But she knew if she stayed there, she was gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
She's so weak right now. She could not defend them all. It feels like they're getting stronger. It feels like the Genoa are stronger than what they used to be. And that's kind of starting to scare her a bit. And for the first time, she feels like, although it was really difficult, like she made the right decision. And she made a decision that was bigger than her and bigger than Sol Pelor itself.
Okay.
Like she's starting to feel like she's acting, I don't want to say more independently, but like she's starting to become, in a way, like maybe her own god. Like just something different.
Okay. So I'm going to say in your background head, you still hear Lucha and Sol Pelor arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Sol Pelor, you can feel the anger radiating from her. And you sense that Lucha is dampening that, trying to protect you, Woods, from the wrath of that god.
Yeah, I feel like I've landed here in this temple and I'm going a bit crazy, kind of like walking around and holding my head and kind of holding my hair because I can hear them, you know, kind of going back and forth in my head, and I'm trying to answer them but defend myself but also like kind of shake them a bit. And I'm just like pacing, and there's a lot of like energy building up inside of me. And I keep looking down, and you know, the right side of my body, it starts like, is like pulsating in that gold, like white light. And then I look down, and my left side of the body is kind of more in that like moon colored, soft white light. And my body feels like it's like just pulsating with power. Okay, I need you to stop. Sopulor and Lucha, I need you to stop. I did the right thing. I couldn't protect them. I couldn't save them. I can't save them. I need you to stop, please. Please stop. And she's like going to get on her knees and like kind of just almost like in like that child's play yoga pose and put her head on the floor. Please just stop. I can't save them.
I'm going to say you start crying and feeling the loss of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that they were praying for you and you left them.
And I like just keep kind of whispering to myself like, I couldn't. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
I'll say about 10 minutes goes by and then you sense a whooshing and ripping sound as you can feel the spell deteriorate. Looking up from the Temple of Saleen, you see the dark forest. You see some of it bright and patchy, like the Ivana side. You see others dark and burnt and eroding like the Dorma side.
I'm going to stand up slowly and kind of walk towards what I see.
It's every direction. It's all around.
Oh, did we did it? Did Nomus do it? And like a tear is like running down her cheek and she's just so overwhelmed and proud of the fact that her friends did it. Like they ended the spell, what they were supposed to do. And see, so Valor, I told you we could do this. Now we can build back and we can create one world.
You kind of get silence from the goddess, but you sense dread. You sense that there's still stuff left undone.
I think.
And go ahead and roll a history check.
8.
Yep, you don't know it yet.
Yeah, but I do feel like Woods is like spinning around and like there's a wave of gratitude. It's quickly followed by some major anxiety because now she's like, oh, shoot. Like, are the worlds actually going to be one? Is there now? And she's starting to panic a bit. And with her in panic, and she feels like she needs to do something. Like, so it's now time to do. So she's going to kind of take a look at her body and survey, and she's not in the best of health. She knows asking Lucha and Sopalor to heal her is just not something that... Sylphalor's basically not talking to her. Lucha, she can feel Lucha using her power to protect her and to keep more damage from Sylphalor happening to her body. So she is going to do mass cure wounds on herself at a level 4.
Does that take off some of your, is it 1d4?
Yeah, it's just 1d4.
Off your permanent hit points as you're reaching to use the goddess's power to upcast this.
Yes, so she does not have a choice. 1, 5, 6. 6 and 7 is 13. And 1 comes off. So
at least she rolled low on that one, too.
I know. Okay, well, she did one of her. Okay, this is what it is. It is what it is. It's what we're doing here. She's going to do a quick check on her sickles. She remembers kind of from her fight last time that light affects dark, dark affects light. So like being conscious of switching her sickles, and she's going to stand there for a minute and kind of flip them back and forth within her hand and kind of practice that a bit.
I'm going to say you don't get any health loss, but your light sickle, when you touch it, it is very like hot to the touch and like stings your hand.
Yeah. Well, when you're a paladin and you piss off your god, she like says that out loud. Oh, well, that tracks. But she knows, Woods knows, that Sylphalar is going to come around, and she knows she's doing this for the greater good. And although she's really, really sad and tucking away that part of in her brain that her entire village is probably burning at this point, she knows the only way to like move forward and to like save all of humanity. She has such a god complex. Is to finish what they started, right? And they're, she knows that she's the one that needs to do it.
As you are flipping your sickles around and getting used to switching and alternating hands and all that stuff, you go ahead and roll a perception check.
18.
You are quick enough to pick up that there was a small creature stalking you and is now running up behind you. And you're able to flick your sickle around and you slice through this fox to know that was trying to sneak up behind you.
And with that, I feel like she's back in the game. Like, I think her head's straight. She's ready to go. And she's pulling a little bit of Sylphalar's aggression and starting to kind of funnel that. And it feels like Lucha's letting some of that through. So she's getting like, she's getting pissed and she's ready to move. So she feels like she's kind of collected herself. She remembers that they talked about meeting back at the Elven Cave. So that's where she wants to go. She wants to head back there and meet up with the guys and then figure out once again, what do we do now? Like, what's the plan? The pillars have fallen, the spell is broken, or it looks like it is breaking, so now what do they do? And she has this suspicion that she's going to have to fight the Harbinger in Benson, and she's slightly concerned about that, given her current state.
Go ahead and roll another. I'll let you do survival or history. Tell me which one you're doing, though.
I'm doing survival, and I got 14.
When you first exited the Temple of Saleen, you were a little not in the right mind because of the grief that you're going through. Confusion, grief, what all that. Now you're starting to get that mindset, okay, we need to start moving again. I just got attacked by something. This isn't over. You're starting to look around, and even with your 14, you're having difficulty placing which direction to go. The reason being, even though you are a ranger and you are in the woods, it looks so different now since the last time you were here. Because Dorma and Ivana in this area have overlapped. So some of the times you're seeing, oh, that looks familiar from when I was at the temple last time. Or, oh, this also looks familiar over here from when I was in the dark forest fighting that dragon.
But I don't see any people. Like, I haven't seen any like creatures outside of that Denoa.
We'll say after that first Denoa attack, you are seeing some forest creatures like squirrels, rabbits, birds. You're also seeing Denoa. Some of them are pretty small. Some of them are a little bit larger. You think back and remember that this is where you got the bow of Saleen. And you currently don't have a bow. But then you remember, I think, you might be adding things here, but I think you left your previous bow at this temple. I don't think you took it with you.
I mean, I would have had to. I didn't take it with me.
Yeah, I don't think you took it with you.
So with that kind of jog of memory, and she looks down at her sickles, kind of does like a pat over, I'm going to go explore the temple for my old bow.
Okay.
And see if I can find it.
Go ahead and roll a investigation.
11.
Okay, so you are able to find your old bow just fine. You are able also to find 11 arrows.
Ooh, arrows have never been a problem of mine.
We've never really tracked them.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do?
Listen, for all the listeners out there, I track my arrows all the time. I never tell you. I assume I just always go and pick them up unless, like, I know, like, that one broke or it went over a cliff or, you know what I mean? And then I have a pack of, and I can hold 40 in a quiver, right?
It's 20 or 40. I don't remember.
I think it's 40. My quiver holds 40. So quiver of extra holding.
Oh, is it?
Because for 4 campaigns, that's what I've been doing. All right. So we'll just, I'm assuming I didn't pick up any of my arrows the last time I lost my bow. So
I'm going to say at this point, you just have 11 arrows.
I just have 11.
And
and we can edit this out if we need to. Do I still have my bag of holding?
You should.
Yeah. I had 40 extra arrows in there, but that's okay. I can be with 11.
Basically what I want from you, you said you're going to Cave Town.
Yes.
I want to say it's going to take like a day to get there. One, I think it was a half day walk anyways.
Can I take a short rest?
Sure. You can do a short rest.
Yeah, I definitely
need. Spend the night at the temple basically.
I want to do that. I want to spend the night at the temple because I feel like I casted Cure Wounds on myself and it didn't do anything.
Didn't quite do as much as you wanted.
Didn't do as much as I wanted. And now I feel like I found my bow and I'm kind of playing back through the history here of us all being together and here and like how I got Lucha's bow in the first place. And I kind of just realized I need a minute. So can I set up kind of a bit of a perimeter situation? I'm not going to sleep because I don't want Genoa attacking me in my sleep. So I really am just going to kind of like maybe in the temple, there's maybe like a cutout kind of loft of a second floor that I can kind of climb up where I can kind of see stuff coming from most directions, like a high point. And I want to kind of post up and take a short rest.
Yeah, I think you can find a loft to climb up into. And the temple's in, I was always in pretty bad shape. It's even a little bit worse shape now since the merger happened, since the Genoa half of the temple was just absolute ruins. Ivana half was kind of ruined, so now it's kind of a mix of those two. So you can use some hit dice for the evening.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember, how many hit dice do I have? Equal to your level?
It's based on your class. You are a paladin and...
I'm a paladin and a ranger.
Paladins are D10.
Yeah.
I think rangers are D10 too.
I know it's a D10, I just don't know how many I'm supposed to have.
You should have, character level are you?
12. I'm a 6 and a 6.
So you'd have 12 hit dice total.
Okay, well, I'm going to use all that I need to get me back.
I don't think you guys have used...
I've used 3.
You've used 3, okay.
I've used
3. I know you used some in the Harbinger's residence.
I'm regretting using that spell now, but it is what it is.
I think it's consistent with what Woods would be feeling.
Yep. 10.
You get your constitution modifier each time too.
Yeah, which is 0.
Oh, that makes that easy.
10... Of course. All right. Well, we are going to save 1 hit dice.
For an emergency.
For emergency uses. I have 1. I left me with 1 hit point. All right. I got 51 total. Golly, it used to be like 60 something.
Well, I'm trying to house a full goddess in you, so that's going to be slowly eating at you.
It's okay. All right. Can I do some praying during my short rest? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, the idea of a short rest is it gives you time to sit down and actually pack your wounds. That's what the hit dice are. And, you know, eat, relax your muscles. So it's not like you have to be sleeping.
Yeah, definitely in that bag of holding, getting out my trail mix, getting out my beef leather, my salmon fruit leather, all the things that I have going on in there. And we're just going to sit down, fix myself up, have a snack. And I think we're going to go cross-legged, take a lot of deep breaths and maybe do just a bit of meditation. She doesn't want to get anything too deep where she loses touch with what's around her, but she's going to start with Lucha.
Okay.
Lucha, I need you to give me strength. I need you to empower me with the glow of the moon and strengthen me and be by my side. I need you to help me convince Sopalor that we can be one, the three of us together. And she's just constantly thinking, and she's picturing the harbinger of creation in her head and kind of meditating on him and meditating on Benson and kind of going over flight patterns. And when she fought Benson during sparring and trying to concentrate on like weak points, so like meditating on the fact that she knows she's going to have to fight him, and like kind of showing that to Lucha in her brain, right? Like, so sharing her memories of Benson and what she knows of the Harbinger of Creation, and she can start to feel Lucha's like anger towards the Harbinger of Creation. And she's hoping that like Sopalor will also pick up on this and like remind Sopalor, like, we have a common enemy. Like, this is the person we need. This is the thing we need to take down. And so she's just going to like continue the mantra of like, give me the, you know, I am the maiden of the moon. Give me your powers. Help me defeat him. Help us come together. And then she's going to pivot a bit. Sopalor, I know you can feel me. I know you can see this. Help Lucha and I defend our world and destroy the Harbinger of Creation. We need you. We need your light. We need your power. Help us avenge you and help us save this world and these people. And she's just going to kind of sit there for probably another half an hour or so, and continuously talking to both Lucha and Sopalor and just kind of opening her mind and sharing what she knows of the Harbinger of Creation and Benson with the two of them, hoping that later down the road, if she's faced with these two and she has to fight, that maybe this will give her a little extra of an edge.
Go ahead and roll a religion check with advantage. Just tell me what the number is.
10.
10. Okay. Good notes.
Need a new D20. I'm not loving that guy. Hey guys, it's Sam. Oh, we are almost done wrapping up season 4 and the entire storyline. We are so excited and thankful that you guys have been on this journey with us. We want to do a bit of a mailbag. If you have questions about the storyline, the world, the podcast, us as players, we would love to answer those for you as a little season finale. Regardless of where you are in the story, if you're starting with season 1 or if you're right with us at season 4, go ahead and send in your questions either on Instagram at @CarriageRestTalesD&D or shoot us an email at podcast@CarriageRestTales.com. As always, give us a 5-star review if you haven't done that yet on your favorite podcast platform. Share our podcast with a friend. We are so grateful for all of you as listeners. We cannot thank you enough. We are so excited that you've been on this journey with us, and we can't wait to wrap this story up. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Next morning comes around. First off, while you were hiding out meditating, you would have seen woodland creatures and Denoa scampering around through the woods. What did Woods observe during this? Obviously nothing you had to fight. I don't want to make you lose a short rest, but I'm curious what the scene looks like to you, the player.
Yeah, I have some questions.
Okay, so sounds good.
Are they getting along? Are the like small Dino and the small woodland creatures, or are they fighting each other?
I believe they would probably fight each other.
Okay. Hang on, I'm thinking. I know what you
You're
want.
Good.
I know what you want from me. You want a little lore?
I do. This is like the random encounter roller, but yeah. We already know the result is going to be not amazing, partially engaged at dawn or at midnight in this case, at dusk.
So Woods kind of comes out of, starts to come back to reality, and she's feeling peace, right? She's feeling that her and maybe Lucha and Sopalor are starting to be on the same side, and she's got a bit of confidence. Every time she comes out of a meditation and she prays to her gods, like, she feels like she's almost like a paladin spark, right? Like, she feels so good, a bit of a high. And she's like, yeah. And she, you know, so she opens her eyes and then she just looks down. And all of a sudden, it's just this most beautiful, peaceful scene. It's dusk. There's lightning bugs that are kind of flickering through the forest. And, you know, there's this beautiful white-tailed deer that's kind of just majestically in this field. And she takes this, like, deep breath. And she's like, okay, this is working. Look at the spell. This is good. And out of absolutely nowhere, this massive snake-like Genoa just comes slithering behind the deer and just, like, just right into its neck and just takes this deer down. And Woods goes, and then everything comes flooding back into her brain. Like, what did we do? Like, and then now she's thinking of Cave Town and Black Bay Harbor and Amberton, and oh my Lucha, are these Genoa just everywhere attacking? And the amount of panic that is sitting within her body, it's not okay. And she's gonna get up and gather things and kind of just jump down and bow out, just ready to kind of stalk her way back through.
Okay. It's going to take Woods the full day because you need to go at half speed, stalking through, avoiding creatures. I'm going to say that through that time, you do use up. Go ahead and roll a d10.
2.
Okay. You use 2 of your arrows to ward off some smaller Genoa.
Okay.
That you didn't quite notice. You're keeping your eye out for the big game and maybe climbing up trees, letting these wolves pass. You know, like, you're trying to avoid both woodland creatures and Genoa creatures. Mm-hmm. So it takes a little bit of time to get to Cave Town. I do need you to roll a d8 for me.
6.
So about 6 hours into your journey of watching these, because you're a ranger and you're in the woods, I think you'd put together that all of the Genoa you are seeing are traveling south. So, like, every time you're passing one and you're hiding out and waiting for something, it takes you about 6 hours to put together that they all seem to be traveling south.
Okay. I'm going to pivot and go south. It feels in my brain, it's Black Bay Harbor south of the original temple.
Black Bay Harbor would be south of the original temple, and Cave Town would be west.
So Cave Town is west, mm-hmm. But Black Bay Harbor... I thought the Elven Cave was, like, right outside of Black Bay Harbor.
It's not. It's on a boat. So it was a couple-day boat ride from Black Bay Harbor to Stringham.
Oh, yeah,
that's
right.
And then Cave Town is just north of
Stringham.
Stringham, yeah. And you know that you're supposed to be meeting your allies at Cave Town.
Yeah, so now everything... Ugh. She's contemplative. She's standing in the middle of the woods. There's this huge pole that's telling her to go south to Black Bay Harbor. But the plan was to go to Cave Town. She's going to go to Cave Town.
Okay.
She's going to go. She is unsure what Nomus is going to do, but she feels like Vaso will be there. He's generally a rule follower. However, if he can remember, and if he heard it, that's a completely different thing. But she's going to go to Cave Town first.
You pick your way through the rest of the forest. You start hearing the waves crashing, so you know you're getting close to the ocean. You land on the beach. Same thing. It looks familiar to you, but then also oddly not familiar. That overlapping world is really messing with your internal ranger senses. But you pick up that Cave Town is to the north. So you start walking along the beach. And you see the entrance to Cave Town, where there would normally be some guards on duty. But you don't see any guards from when you're walking up.
She is... When is the last time I looked in a mirror?
I'm not sure. Do you have a mirror on you?
No. I'm trying to...
I guess you would always have your blades. You could maybe...
Kind of just look at my... I'm going to pull up my sickle and look at my reflection and pull one hand over my head and realize that she has not done the best job maintaining her disguise, right? So she was religiously shaving her head before and making herself not look like the wanted posters everywhere. And she realizes now her hair has grown in, and the elven part of her makes her hair grow very quickly. That's why elves generally have very long hair. Little made up fact.
No, it's fine. adding lore, I love it.
So her hair is starting to poof out into the fro that she had, and it's, you know, 3 or 4 inches. And she is upset at herself that she forgot and she was careless enough to let herself look anything close to the wanted posters that are still plastered all over. So with that, she's going to take a little bit extra care and go a little slower and try to be, try to stealth, kind of through the streets of Cave Town.
Okay. Well, you're starting to get to Cave Town. So Cave Town had a little beach entrance that mm-hmm. you had to walk down a cave at. So is that where you're trying to walk down?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and roll your stealth check.
22.
You make it to the entrance. And you see the position where they have 2 like benches set mm-hmm. up where the guards would typically be sitting, and they are empty. You start crawling your way through the cave towards Cave Town. And you get, let's say, maybe 100 feet out of the city, and you start to hear low murmuring, and it kind of has a rhythm to it.
Am I attracted to it? Like, do I feel drawn to the sound?
I don't think you would. Maybe Lucia might have some pull towards the rhythmic sounds that you're hearing.
Okay, I'm going to investigate it and kind of follow the sounds.
You make your way into Cave Town proper, where they had, it was more of shanty town. They were still building it up, but it definitely looked better than when you were last here. And you work your way to the center, and you see that there are a handful of the Cave Town elves. Maybe you see 40 of them. And they are all chanting in a prayer and bowing towards a central stockpile of a bunch of Denoa shards.
Huh.
Maybe there is, let's correct it, let's say there's 20 elves left.
I'm going to approach from behind. Do I recognize any of the elves?
You would recognize majority of the elves. I don't know who would have. I don't know who the names would be, but.
That's fine. I'm going to walk up to, let's say, one closest to me, Ireland. Mm-hmm. So I walk up to Ireland, and tall, skinny fella. And I reach up and put my hand on his shoulder, kind of like slowly behind him.
He will startle and turn to face you, and then immediately recognize your posture. He might have a slightly longer recognition because your hair's grown out.
Sure.
But then he's going to immediately break down crying, like grabbing your arm.
Okay.
What's going on? What's happening? Why are they dying? Why are they leaving us?
I like cuff him in his hands and, grab him. Who's leaving?
And he's just absolutely sobbing, snot crying, having trouble getting words, starting to hyperventilate. And then behind him, you see that they're all praying to a large collection of dark shards. And you start looking around and you see that Cave Town is empty, except for these 20 elves.
Are these the elves? So the elves had to always go back to Denoa because they were people of Denoa.
Mm-hmm. They were Dorma citizens.
I'm sorry. The elves had to always go back to Dorma because they were people of Dorma. They were Dorma citizens. So now, because the worlds are combined, they can't survive here?
Go ahead and roll a history check.
9.
You are very confused.
Where's your chief? Where's your...
The chief, he's just pointing at the...
Who's in charge? Who's the matriarch of the tribe now?
I don't know. It was so sudden. It was...
Has anyone else perished? Or did it just all happen at once?
It all happened at once. It was...
About a day ago?
Yeah.
Okay, but nobody else has perished. It was just that one time, right?
That one horrid night. And he's going to start breaking down again.
Okay, I'm just going to hold him for a while and kind of just like pet his head and let him cry and kind of just rack my brain as to what this means and is there a way to fix this? Can these dark shards be combined with light shards? How do we fix this?
As you're sitting holding Erland, he's rocking, hyperventilating, crying, confused. The rest of the citizens you see are slumped over, depressed. Some are losing it just as much as Erland is. And then you see one figure start to necessarily give orders, but have a little bit more direction. And they have, for the lack of the better words, like wheelbarrows. They are instructing people to put the Genoa shards into to carry outside of the cave. And then you remember that in Dorma, when the citizens pass, they remove the shards so they don't turn into Genoa. So they separate them.
And that's what's happening here.
Yeah. You can tell that they have paid their respects and now they need to protect the rest of the community.
I'm going to help.
Okay.
I'm going to spend a couple minutes, some time, a couple hours, whatever.
I say it'd probably take a couple of hours because they do want to spread them out. They don't just pile them up because then they know that's going to create a Genoa.
And I feel like also these are Woods' friends, right? So she's epically sad. And as you know, as she's kind of walking through and passing people, there's hugging, there's, you know, arm holding. And but she feels responsible for this. Now she's not going to tell them that.
No, you're good.
Right. But she definitely is starting to feel some sort of, I don't want to say guilt, but those same feelings that when she left her town and left those people to die, like she's starting to have those same feelings, types of feelings here.
So as you're having those feelings and you're thinking through your friends at Cave Town, you drop the wheelbarrow or the handle of the wheelbarrow as you are struck in the face emotionally. As you think back to, you know, one of the Cave Town elves, we'll call her Lynn. You're remembering talking with her about their experiences in Dorma and all that. And then you remember when you were in Castrum, you teleported, you cast that giant moonbeam to destroy the pillar, and you remember a elven person staring at you while you were casting that spell. And etched in your memory, that elven person in Castrum looked exactly like Lynn. And then you think back, what pillar did you fall?
Was I not in Castrum?
You were. What's the population of Castrum? You would have remembered from just your history of the world that Castrum is the capital of the elves.
Okay.
The Ivana capital of the elves that you fell.
Okay.
And every time you've fallen a pillar, there's immediately been a swarm of Genoa.
Woods? Hang on.
I can feel Brandon screaming because he's already put it together.
Oh, damn.
I just know it.
We'll have to leave that in here. Woods is so confused. I need help. I feel like you want me to remember something I don't remember.
Yep. World history time. That Woods would definitely know.
Okay. I'm going to take some notes.
You're fine.
Okay.
When somebody in Ivana dies, what happens to their other half?
They die. They get Wardina.
Wardina'd. Where are the Cavetown elves from?
They're from the other place.
From Dorma.
Dorma. Why can't I think of Dorma?
So they would be the other side, the other half.
So Cavetown, Dorma, and Castroon are linked?
Yes. Castroon was the elven capital. Woods had the bow of...
Oh, So I killed all my friends. That is so horrible.
So now do we need to back up again?
Okay, so in this has nothing to do with where she's from. These are different elves.
These are different elves, yep.
Okay, so she went to Castroon and she fell the pillar. And when she fell the pillar in Castroon, a bunch of people died.
Yes.
Why? It was because of the explosion or just because?
So throughout the story, we've been speculating or hinting at that Denoa tend to congregate at the capitals. On Dorma, they're called the ruins. So basically, Denoa are attracted to those points where there's lots of people on the other side. Does that make sense? Like a magnet pulling them there? So whenever a capital falls or a pillar falls, well, now there's two worlds are combining in that spot. Now there's just a lot of Denoa present.
Okay, and they kill all the people in the city.
And so they overrun the city, which is what we've seen when we fell Trin, Amberton, I guess.
So the cave town elves used to live on the other side of Castroon.
Well, they just lived in Dorma, but their other halves
are all in Castroon.
They're all in Castroon, yep. Which is why you would have recognized Lynn, which is why I was putting that up.
Okay, so I just murdered all of my friends.
Not on purpose.
I understand that. A lot of people die. I'm gonna, okay.
Okay. Ding. As you are carrying your wheelbarrow, helping distribute the ashes, you are thinking back to all your relationships and enjoyment hanging out with these cave town elves. And you remember, you know, one of the little girls in the village called Lynn that just was fascinated with you. And then you just immediately stop walking, drop the wheelbarrow handle as you come to a realization that when you were in Castroon casting that massive moonbeam to destroy the pillar, you remember a elven child staring at you wide-eyed with the exact face of Lynn.
Woods, like, sees this picture of this girl in her head and automatically just drops the wheelbarrow. And it feels like complete shock is taking over, and she's like seeing double as she looks around and, oh no. Oh my God. Oh, I did this. I killed my friends.
As this story pulls on your soul, in the end, we hope it is full.
Hey guys, it's Mike, your host and Dungeon Master at Carriage Rest Tales. I just want to say thanks for taking the time to listen to our podcast. It really means a lot to us. If you are enjoying the content and you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review. It's really going to help us grow our listenership and be able to reach more people. I also want to give a special thanks to Tabletop Audio for providing the background music for today's episode.